Blog Talk Radio.
Paradigm shift. It's time to awaken consciousness. And hey, if you're a freedom-loving soul, you're in the right place. This is Carolyn Parisi, and happy birthday to you, Nancy.
Hey, thank you very much.
So what did you do for your special birthday today?
Well, it started out with an interesting trash out of a vacant home, and that was certainly a interesting birthday pleasure. Then of course a lovely meal, good people around, and lots of well wishes on Facebook.
Awesome. Well, hey, got a little twist today. I know we're still doing Think and Grow Rich, and we're really getting close to the end of that. And maybe I just don't want it to end because I just love that. Love the concept so much, and I love the book. But there's something that I came across today that really just begged me to, you know, to talk about it. And it's called the no-no list.
Huh.
And
that
no
sounds
is
interesting.
No is a complete sentence. It does not require justification or explanation. Have you ever heard yourself saying yes to the wrong things? Never-ending requests of your time, bad relationships, energy-draining obligations, and wished you could find a way to summon the power to turn them down, to simply say no. You have the right and responsibility to start saying no to anything that is hurting you, to anything that is not alignment with your values, to the standards that no longer serve you, to the people who drain you of your creativity and peace of mind, to the beliefs that are not true to the real you. Consisting of two letters and one syllable, the word no can be considered to be one of the most powerful words in the vocabulary. It's the easiest word for setting a limit, holding to firm boundaries, and being absolutely clear about what you will or will not do. Word of pure power that is both in and out direct, and the one you must begin implementing each day of your life. You will be a lot more productive once you start recognizing these things. No is not a dirty word, a negative word, nor is it a selfish word. Learning to say no is liberating as it frees up your time to focus on your key priorities. You are in complete control of how you spend your time in your life. Saying no allows you more time and energy to pursue your goals and wildest ambitions. Saying no increases the value of things you say yes to. Your success requires a short yes list and a long no list. And unfortunately, most people have that idea reverse engineered. You must consciously say yes to the right people and the right habits, the right attitudes, the right time commitments, and the right things that serve to advance you in the direction of your goals. And you have to say no to a long list of other things that take you away from your goals. To obtain the list of things, you could go ahead and just start making your list of things that kind of drain you, things that really don't serve you. Yeah, maybe they're feel-good-now things. But are they getting you closer to or further from? So take back control of your life, fast track to your goals. You must resolve to give no the strategic influence it deserves for the simple reason it will produce immediate results. So I think there's about 100 days left in this year. What do you think?
To do that as a challenge or?
Well, I mean, you know, you do attract in your life whatever you give your attention, your energy, and focus on. So if you're
Absolutely.
Focusing on negative things or things that really aren't moving you closer to, you know, either, you know, financial independence or, you know, a stress-free life, you know, then you're just going to get more of the things that you already have. We know that. I mean, that's just true. Yeah. So, you know,
Correct.
What do you
right.
think? 100 days, there's 100 days left in this year. That's kind of interesting that there's left in this whole 365-day year. And
yeah.
So do you do a birthday New Year? Do you do anything for your birthday New Year to put your life into a different place for the New Year?
Not really.
No?
No. I haven't been challenged to take that on as a project.
Okay. Well, then you're very just happy the way your life is going. Your life is perfect.
It's pretty darn good. It's pretty darn good. I'm trying to live an ideal life every day, and I see the direction and the opportunities that are coming down the pipeline, and I like what those options are. The biggest thing is keeping the energy vampires in check, and maybe that's what the whole no thing, you know, is also about. It's not saying no, you know, to things you get yourself involved with, but maybe with whom you get yourself involved with.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 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 You know,
the best terminology I've heard all year is that term, energy vampire. I think that is just so appropriate of what kind of people to avoid, or we used to call them, you know, the drama kings, drama queens, and all that. But I think those drama people are much more fit the verbiage of energy vampire.
Oh, and they are. And they're all over, and they come in. I mean, just because you have a friend that, you know, I mean, I have friends that call me and vent. I love that because, you know what, vent, because you let it off your chest, then you talk about it, and then you've addressed the situation, and you can then figure out how to solve the situation. But it's the people
that
have the same things over and over
right,
and
that's
over
the difference,
and over. It's like, really?
You,
I mean,
right. Well, healthy
you know,
venting is good. Healthy venting is good because, like you did the first scenario you described, then there's a discussion about it and an action plan and some direction that you're taking with that. With the energy vampire people, it's just they keep sucking you dry for sympathy and for help and for everything over and over for the same things, and they have no desire to make it any different. So it's just after a little while you see their pattern and how they operate, and you know that they're not changing anything because they have too many people enabling them to continue that life.
Well, now, do you think, because we can go back to Think and Grow Rich, because we are talking about all these fears. You know, there's the six ghosts of fear. So, the fear of poverty, the fear of criticism, the fear of ill health, fear of loss of love of someone, the fear of old age, and the fear of death. Do you think energy vampires come from a place of fear?
Absolutely. I think that's I think that's where most of their problems lie. Is it starts with a fear. They decide to fix it or cover it up or avoid it or displace it onto somebody else. And then so they're really not taking responsibility for themselves and what they need to do, even though, you know, if they get with the right people, those people are trying to guide them and make suggestions for them to get out of that rut of fearful, reactive behavior.
Right. But do you think some people just don't want to change? Do you think they fear the change? And where does it
fit? I think they fear
it. Where does it fit in these? I don't know. What are you thinking of more specifically? What kind of behavior are you thinking of? Are you thinking of more addictive behavior?
Not even really, unless you call constantly being in bad relationships an addictive behavior. But I would say, yeah, just getting yourself into the same situations, whether that's you always pick jobs with bosses that'll beat you up and not lift you up and give you opportunity to move forward, whether you're always picking relationships with significant others in your life that don't help you grow and guide you towards something together and better and building relationships. So I guess it can be a lot. And then, of course, there's the addictive people that just choose to medicate themselves through all this fear.
So the two things that you listed were relational situations. But what about, and what we talked about on the Steve Beamon show, I don't know if you had a chance to listen online, but we talked about is looking at yourself for who you are and really taking a look at yourself saying, okay, you know what, this is where I'm at, this is the rut I'm in. Do you think people that have a lot of these issues, do you think they've actually taken a look at themselves and said, you know what, maybe it's me the reason why I'm always getting these bad bosses. Maybe I'm not the best, you know, person to be working for someone else. You know, maybe I'm not the best, employee, if you will. You know, or I'm always getting these kind of bosses. Well, do you ever think that people look at themselves and say, okay, I'm getting these bosses and I'm getting these people all the time. What's wrong with me?
Right. I think they don't do that because that takes a lot of courage and personal responsibility.
Because sometimes it's the hardest thing to look at where you're actually goofed up because it's a lot easier to blame other people. Well, you know,
right.
I'm a drunk because my father was a drunk and, you know, I'm hanging out with this drunk and I have to hang out with this drunk because I have nobody else because I'm afraid to be alone because I really don't want to be
right.
alone with myself. I really don't even know who the hell I am or like myself.
Right.
You know?
And that kind of... That wraps up all the scenarios I just mentioned into one big fear, which is a base fear of being alone and having to face yourself in the mirror every day, and know your truth and hear your truth.
So here's the six basic fears are the fear of poverty, the fear of criticism, the fear of ill health, the fear of loss of love of someone, the fear of old age, and the fear of death. So, you know what? All of them can happen at one point or another. Some are inevitable. Some are inevitable without the... I mean, you can't get old and not eventually die. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, eventually you will.
You can't really think outside the box and do new things and fear criticism. Because it's like, you know what? There's no losses. There's only less, you know. So,
right.
You know, I don't. You know what? I want to be old like my former boss, Chuck Loser. I mean, you got a birthday. You thinking about getting older? And oh my God, I'm older.
No, I never say, oh my God, I'm older. Because my true spirit nature, I know how old I am there, which is really young at heart. And it's just, to me, it's a marking of passing of time on, on this planet. That's all it really is. And then you can make out of it anything you want. You can make excuses. Oh, I'm older now, so I can't do this. Or, you know, we'd love that can't word, right? Or I'm older now, so I should be expected by society to act in a certain way or dress in a certain way or, yeah, those things don't apply to how I live my own truth.
And I really, really like this. And I don't know, did we talk about the fear of poverty and the symptoms of the fear of poverty? I think we may have.
We did go into the poverty one pretty well. Yeah. Yeah.
fear of indecision, the fear of doubt, the fear of worry, overcaution, procrastination, indifference, just, you know, taking anything that comes your way. And then the fear of criticism is, that's something that a lot of parents, you know, do. The fear of ill health. I don't know. I mean, you know what? I think your mental attitude. You could sit and say, oh, my God, I got a backache. And, yeah, your back can hurt you, but if you keep saying it, that's going to help it get better, you know?
No, because then there's people who have serious life-threatening illnesses like cancers, and some of them you come across have the best attitudes, and they don't call it fighting against it. They just call it dealing with, and, you know, the whole what doesn't kill you makes you stronger type of situation, and they see that there's something to be learned even in that experience, even if it results in death. There's still something to learn or pass along or show an example thereof. How about all those stories of, Tuesday with Maury, where he was dying and he knew he was going to die. Oh, very good book. You should go find that. And it's about a guy who had cancer and was going to die. And I don't know if it was his son or just a close friend person that came and spent every Tuesday with Maury. I don't think it was his son. And he would bring corned beef sandwiches and pastrami's and all these foods and all this stuff. And when he got sicker, the wife accepted all this stuff graciously. And then, of course, he inevitably died. And then he found out that for many months before his death, Maury's death, that he, you know, all the food was kind of in the refrigerator and stacked up because he couldn't eat it after a while. He was too sick to indulge. Aww. But he graciously, every time this man came to make that offering to him on these Tuesdays, he graciously accepted it. Didn't give him like, oh, what the hell? I can't eat this stuff. I'm sick. You know what I mean? It was all about the attitude of gratitude, even in the face of death. It's an awesome story.
Ever saw it. I know it's too. But,
the movie, too.
That out with the six ghosts of fear. It says, the person who gives expression by his words and his mouth negative and destructive thoughts or says them is practically certain to experience the result of those. The kickback. First of all, perhaps the most important thing to remember is a person who releases thoughts of destructive nature must suffer damage through the breaking down of the of creative imagination. No kidding. How angry some people are, and they're worried, and it's like they don't even they forget to get creative because ruminating on the nonsense. Interesting. So the presence of mind of any destructive emotions develops a negative personality that repels people and often converts them into antagonists. The third source of damage to the person who entertains and relieves negative thoughts is that these thought impulses are not only damaging to others, they embed themselves in the subconscious mind of the person releasing them, and it becomes part of their character. One is never through with the thought merely by releasing it. When a thought is released, it spreads every direction through the medium of the... But it also plants itself permanently in the person releasing it. Your business in life, presumably, is to achieve success. To be successful, you must find peace of mind, acquire material needs of life, and above all, attain happiness. All of these evidences of success begin in the form of thought impulses. You may control your own mind. You have the power to feed whatever thought impulses you choose. With this privilege also goes the responsibility of using it constructively. You are the master of earthly destiny just as surely as you have the power to control your own thoughts. You may influence, direct, and eventually control your own environment, making your life what you want it to be. On the other hand, you may neglect to exercise the privileges that is yours to make your life in order to the yourself upon the broad sea of circumstances where you will be tossed hither and yon like a chip of wave on the ocean. Next week is the Devil's Workshop, which is really, really deep. Napoleon Hill did a whole program on conversations with the devil, and it's amazing.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a subconscious negative mind going, well, no, I don't want money anyway. Only greedy people want money, and, you know, I that person really, they got success because they cheated other people, and, you know, my life is just the way, I mean, it's really, really deep. I've listened to it. I might listen to it again this week. But, we're on almost on the last chapter of Think and Grow Rich. We finished that one. We have our weekly wisdom, and this is body wisdom. There is more wisdom in your body than your deepest philosophy. That's neat. When making decisions, how often do you check in with your body as a guide to help you know if the decision you are making is helpful or harmful to you? Do you ever check in or rely solely on your mind to guide your decision making? How often have you made important life decisions with only your intellect as your guide? If we are four-dimensional beings, body, mind, spirit, and emotions, then doesn't a unilateral method of decision making seem somehow short-sighted? Body is a little-known and greatly untapped resource for guidance and discovery, and that offers very clear signals, feelings, sensations, and, of course, action will lead you closer to your soul's dream. When used in conjunction with your other senses, the body offers clear guidance as to what path to take or which decision to make. First, use your mind to gather information on your decision. Then tune into your body's inherent wisdom through the vehicle of your feelings and your bodily sensations. And finally, decide spiritually if this decision is in alignment with your integrity and the views that are closest to your heart. Most importantly, ask yourself if you feel excited and uplifted by your decision and somehow more alive. Does making this decision just somehow feel right, even though it makes no sense to your mind? The more you check in with your body sensation and feelings while making decisions, the more you'll begin to hear the subtle directives of your soul speaking to you through the vehicle of your body, and it is very wise. Listen. Okay, so here's this week's exploration. When making decisions, how does your body feel? This week, while making everyday life decisions, check in with your body and begin to get in touch with subtle feelings, signaling a yes or no answer. Start by asking yourself simple questions that have a definite yes or no answer. For example, ask yourself if you love your and experience the sensation of that yes answer. Then ask yourself if you hate your pet and experience the sensations of the no answer. You could substitute for anything you want as long as it provides you with a yes or no answer. And as you become familiar with your own personal body cues, you can then begin a this process to larger questions of life. Just remember, the process of discovering your unique body was meant to be fun, so enjoy this lovely process of discovery. So there you
cool.
go.
Cool. Like
isn't
that.
Cool? That's an interesting
yeah.
one.
Yeah, very.
So, yeah, I know. I mean, I could tell when things are excited, and then sometimes I just have self-resistance to things, too. It's like, I really don't want to do that. And some of it is being lazy, you know? It's like, oh,
yeah.
I don't really like going out to do that right now, or I really don't feel like going through this right now, blah, blah, blah. So,
no, I really didn't feel like cleaning out that house on my birthday, I'll tell you that much, but it needed to get done. I had the grace of time to get it done, and I was doing someone of a huge service, and I said, we'll just go get her done.
Did you do it by yourself?
And now that it's
done. I thought you did it yesterday.
I did a bunch of it by myself. And we did some of it the other day, not yesterday, but the other day. And, I did have some help today. That's all. It was good, but I did a lot. I did the really disgusting part myself.
Did you get paid?
A small token of appreciation, yes.
Okay, so you got paid
but
to
I did,
do it, so there you go.
Well, right. Like I said, that was really irrelevant. I didn't do it to earn a dollar. I did it because I was helping somebody and they needed my help and it needed to get done. And I took charge of the project and I'm seeing it through.
Is it done?
Almost.
Almost. One more day, huh?
One more, but it's just, it's not. It's more like supervisory than. Today was the ickiest day.
Okay. All right. So
yep.
What else is going on in Nancy's life? We got about 2 more minutes. We actually early. I fall into this this really deep universal thing. Let's see if I don't have it. I closed it out. Oh wow. Oh no, I didn't. Here, I really love this. This is something to totally ponder, too. It tracks to my life whatever I give my attention, energy, and focus to, whether positive or negative. Keywords are whether positive or negative. If you send out positive vibes to the universe, you will receive back. If you send negative vibes, you will receive them back. If you find yourself in negative vibes, how do you change it? First, in order to change your vibes, you need to change your emotion. In order to change your emotion, you need to change thoughts. In order to change your thoughts, you need to change your words. So change positive words such as I can, yes, happy, glad, etc., and then see how you feel. Avoid these 3 words. No, don't, and can't.
No, don't, and can't. We hate
you
those
need
words.
To say no. This is so funny. Sometimes you do
yeah,
need
it is.
To say no.
But no is
sometimes
okay.
No
it
is
just
power,
means
so.
Yeah, right. It does. It depends on how you're using that word. But the other 2 words, especially can't, doesn't fit with who I am.
Can't is a really good excuse.
It's an
it's
excellent
like, oh,
excuse.
It's an excuse.
I can't, but that and it requires nothing else after that. And that's what people say. I can't. And then that's the end of it. It's like, what do you mean you can't? Sometimes I do call people out on that. Because what they really mean is I'm not choosing to do that, or I'm not choosing to be helpful in that manner, or,
yeah.
You know. Right, and I'd much prefer somebody to say that it's a conscious choice, because then if it is, you have to respect that. People are allowed to make their conscious choices in that manner, whether that suits what you're asking or not. But if they just say, can't do it, like what?
That means you won't do it.
Right. It's a cop-out.
Well, okay, for example, what about our mutual person that we know that wanted my monetary help to bail? Oh, shit, we got 90 seconds. You know what? I can't do that knowing in good conscience. You know? So we got 90 seconds. That's a whole other show.
Yeah, that's a different way of putting it. But you probably would have put it better and not used the word can't if you really would have thought about it.
I don't think I said I can't. I said I will if you do this.
Correct.
If you don't do
well,
this,
that's
I won't.
Positive. Right. That's the positive affirmation and still allowing the other person to have a choice, freedom of choice.
Freedom of choice, baby. Well, Nancy, you have a happy birthday. We got another 30 seconds. Any exciting words this week besides no and yes?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm focused on success. I'm focused on getting a message of positiveness out there to the world and changing the world by making Americans great one show at a time. So hopefully everyone will awaken to their own empowerment. And I will call you back when the show's over. I'd like to talk to you for 3
sounds
minutes.
Good. No
okay,
problem.
Well, awesome. Everybody, we'll catch you back here next Monday at 5 p.m. Thanks for joining us on Awaken to Empowerment. Carol and Nance signing off. Bye.
Adios. Bye.
Adios.